Hi, everybody. Have I told you lately that I love you? Welcome back to our special series on principles for living through a pandemic. Now, I want to start by repeating four suggestions that I gave you last week for getting the most out of these online messages while we're unable to meet during the COVID-19 pandemic. First, print up the outline that goes with this message. I write one every week so you can take notes. And you could pause this video right now and go print it up, and then you'll have something to take notes on. Number two, get comfortable. Get a good chair to sit in. Don't try to stand or in an uncomfortable chair. Number three, turn off your phone. You wouldn't answer a phone if you were worshiping in a church building right now. And number four, don't multitask. Worship is focusing on God, and you can't do that while you're trying to focus on something else at the same time. Now, today is our 18th study in the book of James that I'm calling A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. Now, when we began this series, I told you that we were going to look at the antidotes to all of the common emotional reactions that people have in a crisis. And I told you that while it is the medical community's job to deal with the disease of COVID-19, it's my job to help you with the emotional dis-ease, the stress that accompanies this pandemic. And of course, in the first 17 messages, we've covered a lot of different angles of dis-ease or stress. Now, of course, this week we received more bad news, and it looks like we're not going to go back to school as soon as we thought, and they've shut us down even further. So a lot of people are pretty stressed out. Now, I want to remind you that this book, the book of James, was written to people whose lives had been turned upside down, not by a pandemic, but by a persecution. And James is writing to encourage everybody with principles for persevering through tough times. So James, if he were alive here right now, he would be very sympathetic to what you're feeling and all that you're going through right now, because he cared about people's pain. He also knew that hope is essential. Hope is essential for enduring tough times. You know, human beings can handle an enormous amount of frustration and delays and even pain as long as they feel there is hope. But when hope is gone, people just give up. They just give up. And that's why James says in James chapter 5, verse 8, these words: "You must be patient. Keep your hopes high." Remember, he's talking about people who were in problems in those days. Be patient. Keep your hopes high, for the day of the Lord's coming is near. Now, if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to circle that phrase on your outline: keep your hopes high. That's what I want us to look at this weekend. Keep your hopes high. Several other translations say, don't give up hope. Do not give up hope. Now, let me ask you, how well are you doing in this? How well are you keeping your hopes high during the COVID-19 pandemic? Do you kind of feel the air leaking out of your balloon or your tire? Do you kind of feel like all your hopes for the future are on hold right now? You know, the more we learn about hope, the more we realize how essential it is to your spiritual and your mental and your emotional and your physical health. I remember a long time ago, I once read a biography of a cardiologist who was famous for heart surgeries. And one of the statements he made that stood out in that book, and I've never forgotten it, he said this: "Hope is the medicine I use more than any other. Hope can cure nearly everything." Hope can cure nearly everything. Another doctor wrote, if you lead a person to believe that there's no hope, he said, you drive another nail in his coffin. And another doctor that I read, Armand Nicolai, wrote, psychiatrists have long known that hope fosters health, both physically and emotionally, and hopelessness can appreciably shorten your life. So today, I'm calling this message from God's Word, A Faith That Keeps Me Hopeful. You see, as long as you have hope, you can keep holding on. You can even keep moving forward during tough times. So what does the book of James have to say about hope? How do I keep on being hopeful when the news doesn't seem to be getting any better? Well, James tells us that hope is based on knowledge. Did you hear that? Hope is based on knowledge. It's what you know that gives you hope. And if you don't know what God has said, you're going to feel pretty hopeless. So throughout the book of James, he gives us seven reasons for hope in difficult times. These are seven promising truths that God has given us. And if we remember them and we hold on to them and we trust in God and in his word, we will have the hope to make it through these tough days of pandemic. So let's look at how faith in God and faith in his word keeps us hopeful in difficult times. Now, as I said, James points out seven big reasons that keep us filled with hope. And I know these are going to encourage you today. All right, let's look at them. Number one, first, we have hope because we know the difficulties won't last. We have hope because we know these tough times, these difficulties won't last. You know, if you were to visit my back office of our ministry center, where I have a little cubby hole there, you would find a plaque hanging on my wall, and it's a piece of marble with Hebrew letters engraved into it. People always wondered what it says in Hebrews, and it says, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." And I like to look at that, and I think, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what circumstance, no matter what problem you're facing, it's temporary. No problem comes to stay. It comes to pass. It passes through your life. You know, even if it was a lifelong chronic problem, you're not going to take it into eternity. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Now, when we understand that the problems in our lives are temporary, that none of them are going to last, and in light of eternity, they're really pretty short, they become more manageable. People can handle a lot if they know there's an end to it and if they see a purpose in it. And that's why James reminds us of this in James chapter 5, verse 10. In the Message translation, it says this, "Take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything. They went through everything. They never once quit, all the time honoring God." James says, these guys knew that difficult times they were going through were not permanent. They were temporary. They were momentary. They were passing. They would not last. Now, I know that this COVID-19 pandemic has already lasted a whole lot longer than most people expected it to last. And it certainly lasted a whole lot longer than we wanted it to last. So what should we do? Well, we look beyond the circumstances. We focus on the eternal. We live in light of eternity. What does that mean practically? Stop watching so much news and start reading your Bible more. That'll definitely improve your attitude, and it will definitely increase your hope. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this in the TEV. "We fix our attention not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. Because what can be seen is temporary and will last only for a short time. But what can not be seen will last forever." See, everything you see is material. The barn behind me, the trees, everything out here, it'll either decay, it'll rust, it'll fall apart, or it'll die. It's the things in the universe that you can't see, the immaterial, they're going to last forever. You can't see God, he's going to last forever. You can't see your soul, it's going to last forever. If you want to increase your hope, you need to change your perspective. You need to stop looking at just the here and now, like I said, all the stuff that's on the news, and start paying more attention to God and to his word and to your soul, which is eternal. God is eternal. Your soul is eternal. God's word is eternal. So stop focusing on the temporary. Here's the second reason that we can have hope in difficult times. Because we know God will use them, use it, the difficult times in our lives, for our good. We not only know the problems are temporary, but we know that God will use it for good in our lives. Now, most Christians know the great promise of Romans 8:28. Right here on the screen, it says this, "We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." But in James, James gives us additional information about that good that God's working for. And he explains the specific good that God is doing in our lives during difficult times. He says it plainly. God is using this, even the COVID pandemic right now, God is using this to grow your character. He uses problems to to help you mature and to help you grow up. That's the second thing we can be hopeful about. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says this, "My brothers and sisters, when you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy. Because you know," there's that "because you know," it's a knowledge that gives me hope, "because you know that these troubles test your faith, and this will give you patience. So let it grow. Let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed," hear that? "When your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything." That's the good that God is doing in your life through the bad that comes into your life. He's helping you be fully developed in patience, endurance, and strong in character, ready for anything. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. You may not feel that you're growing in strength during this pandemic. In fact, you're probably feeling pretty tired, pretty depleted. But you know what? Later, you're going to look back and you're going to see how all of this time changed you, helped you grow stronger, helped you develop spiritual muscle. I have told you many, many times that the purpose of life on earth is to prepare us for eternity. This life is the preparation stage for the next life. This is just the warm-up act. This is not the real show. You're only here for less than 100 years, but you're going to be trillions of years in eternity. This is the dress rehearsal. This is the get ready stage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says this, "These little troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all of our troubles seem like nothing." Wow. These little troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all of our other troubles seem like nothing. You know, in heaven, you're going to say, "What was I thinking? Why did I let that bother me so much? God was using those tough times for my own good and my own growth." So we have hope because we know that the difficulties are temporary, and we have hope because we know that God will use them for our good and our growth. Then James gives us a third reason for hope, and here it is. Because we know getting irritated doesn't help. Getting irritated doesn't help. Let me ask you, has getting upset or distraught or distressed or angry about this pandemic or anything else that you cannot change, has it ever been helpful to you? No. No, it just makes the situation worse. It makes it more unbearable. You know, I see so many angry people these days during this pandemic. They're mad at the government. They're mad at the experts. They're mad at the people who refuse to wear a mask and put other people at risk. They're mad that they can't go to work. They're mad that their kids can't go to school. How is that helping? Is your anger or your irritation or being upset changing anything? Or is it just making you and everybody else more miserable? This is why James chapter 1, 19 and 20 says this, "Always be slow to become angry, because human anger will never achieve God's righteous purpose." Do you see that verse? Human anger will never achieve God's righteous purpose. Getting irritated, get upset, get cranky. It's hard to be hopeful and angry at the same time. Now, while anger will not make the uncontrollable controllable, it won't. And you getting upset about it doesn't make the uncontrollable controllable. Hope can give you the strength to handle it and handle it better. But getting irritated never helps. You know, as this pandemic just keeps dragging on and on and on, it is easy to take out your frustrations on those closest to you, especially if you're home all the time and you never get a break from each other. And that's why James says in James chapter 5, verse 9, don't complain or grumble against each other. Okay, that's pretty good advice right now during this pandemic. Don't complain or grumble against each other, or you will be judged by God, who is standing right at the door. He says he's standing there. He's just listening to all this. You're not so hot yourself all the time. You're cranky. Have you been guilty of doing any of that in your home, grumbling and complaining? You see, the pandemic is not your kid's fault. The pandemic is not your spouse's fault, but unfortunately, we often let our frustration spill over onto them. Why don't you try to be a little bit more aware that irritation and anger doesn't work? It doesn't help the situation. You know, I really love this book of James because he nails it time and time again. He understands that human nature and how irritable we can get about things when things don't go our way, that's common to us. But James also points out that it doesn't help. And on top of that, it depletes the hope that you need to keep going. So, our faith helps us to have hope. And when we're starting to feel hopeless, we think about these things. First, we know the problem's temporary. It's not gonna last. It came to pass. We know that God will use every problem for our good. And we know that getting irritated about it doesn't work, doesn't help. It doesn't solve an unsolvable situation. It doesn't control the uncontrollable. Now we come to a fourth source of hope. Number four, our faith keeps us hopeful because we know trusting God pleases Him. Did you know that when we continue to trust God and when we continue to put our hope in God, when we can't see how it's all going to work out, like right now, when we can't see where the future's going, that when we put our trust in God, that makes God happy? God smiles when you trust Him. You know, every parent knows that the greatest compliment your child can give you is to say, "Mom, Dad, I trust you. I trust you. I know you want what's best for me. I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I believe you're good and you will take care of me." That is faith, and it makes God smile. James gives us a classic example of trusting God without having to know all the details in advance of how it's going to work out. And he gives us the example of Abraham, because God often asked Abraham to put up with lousy circumstances that were very uncomfortable. And yet Abraham trusted God without having all of his questions answered. Can you trust God without having all your questions answered in this pandemic? See, Abraham often didn't know when or where or why or how God was working in his life. But he believed God was a good God who loved him, and so he trusted Him. James chapter 2, verse 23 says this, "Abraham believed God, and because of his faith, God accepted him as righteous. And so Abraham was called God's friend." Whoa. Because he trusted God when he didn't understand where or when or how or why, he just trusted. God accepted him as righteous, and Abraham became called God's friend. Let me ask you a very important question. Would you like to be God's friend? Would you like to be a friend of God? Would you like to have that kind of intimacy with God? Would you like to know God on that kind of personal basis, that God calls you my friend? You see, maybe you've known about God, but you've never considered yourself a friend of God. How do you become a friend of God? By doing what Abraham did, by trusting Him, trusting His Son, Jesus Christ, came to die for you. It's simple, but it's profound. You become a friend of God by trusting Him with everything in your life, even in the middle of an unexplainable global pandemic that has thrown a monkey wrench into all your plans. You trust God. Now, next, James gives us another reason, a fifth reason for hope. We can have hope because we know, James says, Jesus is coming back someday. Yeah, that's a reason for hope. Jesus is coming back someday. James talks about this several times, and it's talked about all through Scripture. You may not know this, but the Bible actually talks more about Jesus' second coming, going to happen one day, than it does about Jesus' first coming to earth 2,000 years ago at Christmas. Jesus talked about it many times. In John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, right before Jesus goes back to heaven, he says this, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you." Okay? So this is after the resurrection. He says, "I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I'll be back. I will come back and I will take you to be with me that you may be where I am. That's promise. Is Jesus a liar? No, he is not. Now, of course, he's talking about heaven. When is Jesus coming back? Well, we don't know. In fact, the Bible says nobody knows but God. So don't believe anybody who tells you that they know the date. If they tell you the date, you can know that's not going to be the date because nobody knows. But we do know this. Every day, it's getting closer to the time of his return. And when he returns, what's Jesus going to do? He's going to right all the wrongs. He's going to correct all the injustices. He's going to heal all the illnesses. He's going to judge all those who pridefully rejected him, and he's going to reward all those who trusted him. So, James says, when you start getting discouraged about how none of your plans are working out and how often it seems that the bad guys are winning in the world, he says, remember this, James 5:8, be patient, stay steady and strong because the Lord could arrive at any time. Anytime. That's another reason for hope. Now, let me give you two final reasons for hope. Number 6, because we know this is not the end of the story. We know what's going on right now. This is not the end of the story. We're still in the middle of the novel. The final chapter has not happened yet. We're still in the middle of the story. And in the middle of the story, it's often messy. It's often confusing. It's perplexing. It's unclear. Right now, with this COVID-19 pandemic, everything seems uncertain. Work is uncertain. School's uncertain. Church is uncertain. Entertainment uncertain. The future is uncertain. Everything else. The big question everybody wants answers right now is, when are things going to get back to normal? Well, what if they never do? What if things never go back to the way they were before the pandemic? Can you handle that? What if you live in a new world, a new kind of world? And what should you do if you don't know how the story's going to end? The answer is simple. You put your hope in God. You don't put your hope in yourself. You don't put your hope in your job. You don't put your hope in politics. You don't put your hope in the media. You put your hope in God, knowing that this is not the end of the story. He knows the end. We don't have to know it. We don't know where the future goes, but we know who holds the future. James reminds us about how everything fell apart in Job's life, but at the end of the story, God came through. James chapter 5, verse 11 says this, what a gift life is to the, this is in the Message version, James 5:11. What a gift life is to those who stay the course. You've heard of Job's staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. God brought it all together for him at the end. That's because God cares. He cares right down to the last detail. Now, God did that for Job. Do you trust that he'll do that for you? I mean, God cared about every detail in Job's life, and he cares about every detail in your life. If you trust him with all the details of your life, you can look forward to the end of your story, too. No matter how much you messed up the first part of your life, did you get that? You can look forward to the end of your story, no matter how much you messed up the first part of your story, because you're trusting God and putting your hope in him. Okay. Let's review the reasons for hope so far. Our faith in God and our faith in his word keeps us hopeful, even though we don't know and understand all that's happening in this pandemic or anything else. And we have hope because, number one, we know the problems are temporary. Number two, we know that God will use what happens for good in our lives. Everything, even the bad, he'll use it for good. Number three, we know that getting irritated doesn't help. Number four, we know that God is pleased when we trust him. Number five, we know that Jesus is coming back someday. And number six, we know this is not the end of the story. Now, finally, James gives us one other reason for hope when we're starting to feel hopeless, and it's this. This is a big one. Because we know that we will be rewarded one day. We will be rewarded by God one day. That is in heaven and in eternity. Now, God clearly promises over and over again in Scripture that He will reward our faith and our hope in Him if we trust Him in difficult days. James reminds us of this at the very start of his book, James chapter 1, verse 12. Happy are those who remain faithful under trials. That's what you're going through right now, a trial. Happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive as their reward, here it is, the life which God has promised to those who love Him. That's the reward. It's a life in eternity that God has promised to those who love Him. He's talking about eternal rewards in heaven that you will enjoy forever and ever and ever. Now, you know what? Right now, our minds can't even imagine what God has in store for us. It's really beyond human comprehension. The Bible says there is nothing on earth to compare heaven to, so we can't really understand it. Every description of heaven is completely inadequate because it's so much greater and better and more beautiful than we can begin to understand with our tiny little brains. But let me just close with three or four Bible verses that hint, just give a hint at how amazing your rewards in heaven are going to be if you put your hope and faith and trust in God when you can't see your way forward, like right now. Let me just read you a few verses. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, every athlete in training submits to strict discipline in order to win a prize that will not last. But we do it for one that will last forever. You know, you get a gold medal or silver medal, or you get a statue. I remember all the little dinky statues I got in, you know, the Little League or Bowling League or all the speech contests as a kid. They all get given enough time, all your trophies get trashed. They don't last. You get used to give a wreath at the Olympics, and then they started dying so quickly that they don't use them anymore. Athletes do it to win a prize that won't last. Who remembers the Super Bowl from 3 years ago? But we do it for a reward that will last forever. How about this verse? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. So be glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though right now you're having to endure suffering, trials, and grief for a little while. What I'm saying to you is don't give up. Look up. Don't give up. Look up. You're having to handle suffering and trials and grief for a little while, but it's just for a little while. Romans 8, verse 18. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will give us later. There's just no comparison. You know, the famous missionary martyr, Jim Elliot, who gave his life in the Amazon trying to reach people for Christ, once said this famous line, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose. Okay? He says, you know, it's so important to think long-term, eternity. Finally, the Message translation of Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says this, there is no comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. So let me ask you, what are you putting your hope in? Okay? What are you putting your hope in? You putting your hope in that some human leader is going to solve all your problems? Fat chance. You putting your hope in the fact that maybe some future spouse will meet all your needs? Fat chance. You putting your hope in the idea that some change in circumstance will all of a sudden make you completely happy? Not going to happen. Your hope is only as good as what you put it in. And a lot of people are putting hope in the wrong things. The only person who deserves your total hope and faith is Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't have a friendship with God, like Abraham did, like I do, I've been a friend of God's now for over 50 years, then you can begin that friendship with God today. And you can begin it in the same way Abraham did, by putting your faith and your hope, not in something else, but in the Lord. Now, I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now to begin that relationship. So would you bow your head right now, and let me just lead you in a simple prayer. Say something like this. Dear God, thank you that my problems are temporary, that they didn't come to stay. They came to pass. Thank you, God, that you will use everything that happens in my life for good, even the bad stuff. Thank you that you can use even the bad stuff for good in my life. Dear God, help me to remember that getting irritated doesn't help. It doesn't make any situation better. It doesn't control the uncontrollable. Help me to remember that turning to you pleases you. Okay? And help me to remember that Jesus Christ is coming back one day, and that's going to change everything. And then say something like this. Thank you, God, that this is not the end of my story. You know the end, and it's a good ending. So thank you, God. Say thank you that you will reward me one day for my faith and my hope in you. Jesus Christ, come into my life. I want to trust you completely. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, congratulations. This is the first step. Hope is going to rise up in your heart. A little seed has been planted. It's got to grow. We'll help you grow that seed. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me if you prayed that prayer for the very first time. I want you to take out your phone, and I want you to text to 99000. Text New Start, one word, N-E-W-S-T-A-R-T, New Start to 99000. Or if you don't have a phone and you want to just email it, email newstart@saddleback.com. And if you'll just send me a note to that address, New Start, I'll know that you prayed that prayer, and I can send you some material that help you get started. You know, since COVID started, thousands, almost 5,000 people have given their lives to Christ through these online broadcasts. And today, you're joining that group. Welcome to the family. When we get to heaven, come over to my place. We'll spend 1,000 years, and we'll go over to your place, okay? I want to say again, thank you to everybody who are sharing online. We can't give our offerings at church right now, but we express our gratitude to God for his goodness by giving back to him online at saddleback.com/give. You know, David, hand me that for just a minute. I want to tell you something. This is the Orange County Business Journal, and this week's issue has a full page explanation of the fact that Saddleback is now the number one feeder of food and groceries in Orange County. Over 13,000 of our volunteers have served over almost 2.5 million pounds of food to almost 250,000 people and families. Why are we able to do that? Because of your giving. So I want to say thank you for your generosity. You're helping feed tens of thousands of families who are out of work during COVID-19. Now, I hope you'll have a great week. I hope you'll practice these 7 things to build your hope, and we'll see you next weekend. God bless you, everybody.